I wonder if you can remember, as I do, those words which have become quite infamous from the then United Secretary of Defense for the United States of America, Donald Rumsfeld. Nods and smiles, you know what's coming. On the eve of the invasion of Iraq, he said these words: "There are known knowns. There are things we know, but we also know there are known unknowns. That is to say, we know there are some things that we do not know, but there are also unknown unknowns, the ones we don't know that we don't know." Now, in our readings this morning, that word know and the opportunity to know has kept coming round. And so I remind us all this morning, we who are in Christ worship a known known. Yes? And we need to share a known unknown for the many unknown will remain unknown. It is our job. It is our call. It is our very reason why the Church of Jesus Christ is here, is to share who he is in order that more might know him, that he does not remain unknown. Now, Paul is speaking in Athens. Athens at the time was a huge place, estimated to have then a population of over 300,000. It was a place known for its intellectual debate, a place to go to chew over the latest ideas and discuss them together. It was also a city that was famed for having over 30,000 different idols or gods, which gave rise to the phrase that it's easier to find a god in Athens than it is a man. They loved worshipping everything that was around them, and hence the number of those idols around the place. And this disturbs Paul. It disturbs him a great deal because he sees that people have got a spiritual hunger, but it's been placed in things that can't help them. He sees that they are searching for something beyond themselves, but are not finding an answer. And he uses that as his starting point to preach the gospel. He doesn't use it to deride them or ridicule them. He uses it to help explain the wonder and the beauty of the gospel. He uses their culture as a way in. And when you think of that situation in Athens then, is there not such a close parallel with 21st century England? We are surrounded by examples of people desperately searching, reaching out, hungry for meaning to life, and looking for it in the most bizarre, often, places to try and find it. They're searching, they're seeking, they are spending in an appetite to find that peace and that meaning for life. We've got it happening in the Dale at the moment, where some folks are actively encouraging and others and promoting the healing powers of stones, or looking into cards for destiny and future. as if they can and as if they will. They don't and they won't. They're searching after something that does not have the capacity to provide what they are looking for. The Kendall priest, Alan Billings, just up the road, describes Western society as secular lives, but with a sacred heart. Searching, surrounded by the idols of money and work and health and possessions. Reaching out, desperate for some answers and not finding it. And you know, for the vast majority of people, I honestly think they're not against the church so much as just incredibly, extraordinarily indifferent to it and to Christ and to what we're all about. They love the building being here. Maybe even like what it stands for, but know nothing of who it is here to represent, who it is to bring glory to. The church is an unknown to them. Jesus is an unknown to them. Jesus is their unknown God. And he will remain so until and unless they discover the truth. And that's what we are here for. That's why the church exists. To share the knowledge of Christ. We cannot make anybody a Christian. That's the Lord's work, isn't it? That's the work of the Holy Spirit. We can't make anybody a Christian any more than I can turn this lectern into another beautiful floral display. I can't do that. I can't make anyone become a Christian. God doesn't want me to either, actually. He doesn't want us to coerce. But what he does want us to do is to share the truth. To share the truth of who Christ is and why he came and what he's about and the difference he makes to our lives. That's our call. How people choose to respond to it is between them and the Lord. And we, as they, will answer for the decision that we make. But our call is to share that good news of Christ. To engage with culture, perhaps in new ways, doing things creatively, differently. But in the end, it comes down to us just being who Christ has made us to be. That our lives are attractive in every aspect so that we live and breathe that good news of Christ, that knowing Christ is the answer. It's about keeping Jesus at the centre of all we do and all we say. I was asked this week, actually it was around a graveside, but a gentleman came to me and he just asked me straight. He says, "So, can I ask you a question?" I said, "Always." He says, "Well, go on then, what's the difference? What's the difference between someone who leads a really good life, a good, upright, standing, moral life, what's the difference between them and a Christian?" And I looked at him straight in the face. I thought, well, that's an easy one. I just said to him, "It's Jesus. That's the difference. It's Jesus." Praise God that the world is full of folks who are good and upright and honest and kind. But being good and upright and honest and kind didn't buy anybody salvation. It's about Jesus. It's about knowing Christ. And then, as Christians, we want to be good and upright and honest and kind and changing the world through what we do and who we are, not in any way to try and make God more pleased with us or proud of us or gaining any kind of Dougie badges or anything like that. No, it's just because we respond in love. I want to be all those things just to tell God how much I love him and how much I'm grateful for what he's done. We need to know Jesus. Jesus must not be an unknown. I was explaining to Steph at the beginning of our gathering together here this morning. We had such a wonderful time at the filling station on Friday night in Laban, where a group of us helped lead a gathering of people from churches up and down the Dale. We had such a wonderful time of worship that went on and on. And the Spirit of the Lord was in the house. In the end, I had to decide, I better kind of close this up because we've got a visiting speaker. And if I don't close down in some way in a minute, he's not going to have any time to talk at all. And then it moved itself off into an amazing time of ministry and anointing for freedom in Christ. And it was so joyful and it was so powerful because the folks there knew Jesus. And if there had been anybody there who hadn't have done, they wouldn't have walked out. Not. It was such a powerful time when we know Jesus personally. And right now, folks, the church is going through some really turbulent times. You do not have to investigate far in the news to realise that. It's going through some really difficult and turbulent times. And it's making it potentially very easy for the enemy to portray the church as ridiculous, irrelevant, and worse, hostile. That's because they don't know Jesus. And we need to keep focusing on him. Can I encourage you again, as I have done often, let's not talk about church. Let's talk about Christ. Because we all know, don't we, in our communities, everybody has got so many opportunities to attend clubs and groups and meetings of all kinds of things. They're everywhere. There's loads of them out there for folks to occupy their time with. But there is only one organisation that can share with them the opportunity for eternal salvation. And that's us. That's the church. That's what we're here for. So let's live and breathe and keep talking about him. He makes the difference. As we were reminded in that reading from Peter, always be prepared to share what you know, but gently, lovingly, always with love. That was Paul's method, and it bore fruit. And might it do also for us. So I want us to think of a moment then on the way in which we've been challenged with that. For I am. What has the Lord been saying to you? Has he brought a particular person to mind? Is he challenging you in some particular way? Who's on your heart right now? What's on your heart right now? And that we might just take a moment now to come before the Lord and ask him how, who, where and when might we help someone to discover Christ.